Veterans Day. We'd like everyone calling the show today to get Old Glory out and hang it and display it someplace prominently at your place of residence if you're at home today. I know a lot of you are listening as you drive through town. Make sure you're out there remembering why we're taking this three-day weekend. It's for the veterans who have served this, the number one greatest country ever in the history of mankind, the United States of America. We're broadcasting live out at Sanderson Ford today on 51st Avenue, just south of Glendale, here to celebrate Veterans Day. We've got tons of memorabilia here that are all available by silent auction. If you ride a motorcycle, we've got the Arizona Veterans Tribute Ride. Registration starts at 10. They're going to launch off about 12:30. They're expecting 800 motorcycles. You're going to caravan from here down to the Wesley Bowen Capital Center in downtown Phoenix, and then from there you're going to head out north to Cave Creek and have yourself a little party at Harold's in Cave Creek. So how could you spend a better Saturday than that here at Veterans Day? I'll tell you what, one of the things I love about this time of year, one is the weather. If you have a bike, this is the time you're on it. And two, high school football and the playoffs. Wow. And the playoffs started last night. And Bill, I probably went to one of the top 10 high school football games I've ever seen in my life last night. At halftime, home team was up 35-34 at halftime. I think there was one punt in the first half of the whole game. We go into the second half of the game with 30 seconds left. Home team is up 42-40 with 7 seconds left. Home team loses 43-42. An incredible, incredible high school football game. The fans were in it. And I tell you what, it's been a long time since I've seen two teams as well coached, as well behaved, and is just into the game. But boy, there were a lot of tears shed on the home sideline.
Ooh, that would be a tough one.
And incredible. Congratulations to Bashes High School. They played an incredible game. And congratulations to everyone at Horizon. You guys handled yourself exceptionally well. Y'all played a great game. I mean, it came down to one point. It came down to a pass interference call that was totally bogus, by the way. I just might add that.
Down to the wire.
And I'm sure if you're...
Oh, man, what a game. I always am in bed, Bill, about 8:30 on Friday night, sure, so I can get up early Saturday morning. Yep. Man, I stayed through the... I usually go home at halftime, but boy, I didn't last night. I was there to the last tick. Oh, what a game. Well, we're here talking about high school football, but we're also talking about our favorite time of year, fall in Arizona. It is our spring in Arizona. This is the time to plant something. We've talked about planting all kind of things. We've talked about killing a couple things, and we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about in your lawn and garden by dialing 1-888-767-4348. No, Romy and I won't answer your landscaping question. That would be dangerous. Well, Romy would be a lot better than I would, that's for sure. We have Bill Jenkins here, a good old family friend. Have known him since he was a kid. We actually worked for his dad at one time back in the 70s, right after I got my driver's license. Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation. Bill, again, thanks for coming in this Saturday morning, crossing town to get over to Sanderson Ford and helping us answer all these landscape questions.
I enjoyed being here.
Just like Paul, who's called in, wants to bring something from, we're assuming he's from the southeast of United States. Paul, welcome to the...
I'm going to be going back to visit some friends in Atlanta in a few weeks. And I was thinking about bringing back some kudzu. You know, that stuff is like a great ground cover and stuff. I think it looked nice on my walls or on the outside of my property.
Well, I do know that's a pretty invasive species in the southeast part of our country. And I would have to check, but I would wonder if that might actually not be a good idea. Our agricultural department may not want that plant in our state.
It might have a quarantine on it. They don't fruiting mulberries, fruiting olives, you're not allowed to bring in into the state. And as invasive as this product is, or this plant is,
I'm not aware of the same thing. Never seen it planted, and I've never seen it in a nursery.
Call a couple nurseries and see if it's available. But boy, if you've got relatives in Atlanta, and I don't know how much they use it in a residential landscaping scheme, but it has gone wild. It is a non-indigenous plant that's been introduced in the southeast. And I'll tell you who hate that stuff is Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, the highway departments. I mean, it literally consumes everything in its path.
And then it kills the trees it grows on.
It kills the trees it grows on. The utility companies and the transmission lines, it just covers them. The utility companies hate them. If I'm looking for ground cover in Arizona, I'm not thinking kudzu. What am I thinking?
There are so many low water use ground covers you can use. It depends on if you're looking at a shady area or a sunny area. One of my favorites is...
He said a wall, too, so he wants something that goes vertical.
If it's a shady area, creeping fig is a nice green ground cover. Of course, there's cat claw that can get a little out of hand at times. Ivy, of course, another choice if it's shady. If you're looking to cover the wall, don't forget you can just espalier a shrub. You don't have to use something that sticks to the wall. Put up a trellis or just simply grow a shrub next to the wall.
There you go, Paul. Check with that, and we strongly encourage you to look for a different type of plant.
Well, espalier that, baby.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. As we go out to Mesa, bring Mike into the conversation. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great.
Good.
Good. My wife and I just got the green light to buy our first home. And
all
so
right.
We now
congratulations.
We now have to purchase some yard equipment that we never had before. And it's not a big property. It's about 6,000 square feet total. So my question would be, like, for lawnmowers, with something that small, is it better to get just the old school manual push mowers, or to get an electric mower, or is it better to get the gas powered mower?
Is all 6,000 square feet grass, or you're saying the entire lot 6,000 feet?
No, maybe half the front and half the backyard itself.
Okay,
grass.
So we're probably around
there's a mixture of different things.
Maybe 1,000, 1,500 at the most.
And the mower selection is going to have a lot to do with what kind of grass you decide to plant, isn't it, Bill?
Very true. If it's going to be a common Bermuda grass or obviously just our winter ryegrass, a rotary mower would be fine, and both gas or electric. They do make some really nice rechargeable electric mowers nowadays.
Okay,
really easy to
I'll have
use
to take your word on that one.
For a small area, I truthfully haven't found them real effective for large areas, but the battery holds out, and they'll do fine for a small area. I'm a gas-powered guy. I want more noise and fire with my mowing.
They even have one now that works like the little vacuum inside your house that if you put borders up around the grass, it actually just mows? You can start it, go away, and watch a ball game.
I saw a YouTube video on that. I don't know. That sounds a little far-fetched. But
if they can do it in the house in the vacuum, surely they can do it a lot more. But I guess you'd want to make sure your dogs are put up and the grandkids are locked up and having a big blade circulating by itself unattended. Outside.
It's a little futuristic. And of course, a good old push mower, just a push reel mower, is a fantastic choice. And it's economical, environmentally friendly, and you get the exercise. So.
Now, on a old fashioned manual push blade mower, I mean, you have to do that almost every day. You can't go 5-7 days. I mean, you'll be out there.
Just because of the amount of work involved, but you might shorten up that mowing cycle. You don't want to take more than a third of the blade height off. Whatever you're mowing, don't take more than one third off. So there you go.
So in the growing season, he's going to have to be cutting every day because it'll grow that fast.
Congratulations on the opportunity to buy your first home. It really is one of your very first rungs up the ladder of economic security and success in America. And listen, as a new homeowner, you found the right place to tune into. Rosie and the House will do everything we can for you to help you every single step of the way. As you get in that house and you have something you want to try and tackle or modify, adjust, remodel, stay tuned to Rosie on the House. We're here to help you, man. Congratulations.
We also have something else you need to help somebody maybe looking for a good pumpkin recipe.
Yes, we do.
Sweet
Arizona,
Jennifer.
Arizona,
good morning, babe.
Good morning. How are you?
My wife of 37 years joining us here this morning. Thank you, baby.
Yeah. Hey, the Arizona Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee has put together this cool little cookbook. It's Arizona Country Cooks Ode to the Pumpkin. And we've got some great recipes in here from different farms across the state. We have Rhonda Crow of Crow's Dairy has put in a couple recipes. Pumpkin soup recipe by Charlotte Mortimer at Mortimer Farms in Dewey. We have Grandma Gertie's pumpkin pie from Hickman's. And it just goes on and on. There's recipes for cookies and shakes and hot chocolate and cake. Are you hungry yet? and they're all in this little cookbook, and it's $5. They're using trays.
No offense to the Mortimers or the Hickmans and stuff like that. I mean, I have never been able to find a way I like pumpkin. I really don't.
I make a pumpkin roll that's in here, and my kids ask for it every year.
And when she's making it, I even leave the kitchen. I don't even like the smell of it. The only way I like pumpkin is always if you roll out the dough, and then you spread like a real thin layer of the pumpkin mush in there, and then you just cover it with toasted pecans.
Okay, so anyway, what I was going to tell you was I have four copies. And I'm going to give them away on Facebook.
Okay.
So the first four people to tag me this morning on our fan page at Rosie on the House, get you
and ask for Arizona Country Cook's
Ode to the Pumpkin.
Ode to the Pumpkin. And a little bit of history if you're new to Arizona or you hadn't learned this before. You mentioned those names, the Crows Dairy, the Hickmans, the Mortimers. Now, these are families that have been in Arizona for generations. Phoenix was almost named Pumpkinville because of all the pumpkins growing here.
That's right.
When it was discovered. So, you know, you've got 100-year-old recipes from a time where, you know, that might have been the only thing those families had to eat.
I don't.
were the pumpkins.
Well, I don't think we'd be at 3 million people today if we were called Pumpkinville. People would have decided to stop in Rye or Payson or even Eva Ben. Ow.
Let's go to Pumpkinville. I'll tell you where we're going right now. We are going to Saddlebrook to bring in Anita, who's joined us at 1-888-767-4348. We also have Robert and Mike, and we're especially going to get to Mike. Oh, he gets all of ours, but he's got a son in the service, so we'll make sure Mike gets an opportunity to highlight his son, Sam.
Absolutely.
But Anita's next in queue. Welcome to the program, ma'am.
Thank you. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Go
ahead with your question.
Okay, on the south side of the house, I have six very large, I think you call them pampas grass with the plumes.
Sure, like a Molenbergia?
I don't know. I just, all I've ever heard them call was pampas grass. They're 13 years old, and when they clip them, they clip 3 inches off the furthest end of the branch. And that they should be taking them down 8 inches off the ground like oleanders. For 13 years, so the plants are full of debris. So am I wrong that they should be taken down that severely?
In the cool climate like that, of course, they're gonna go dormant. So I would say they're going to be a renovation prune, which is a little further down. In the cool climate there, you might want to check with one of your local nurseries that's a little more familiar with exactly what to do in the cold weather. But we do typically head them back pretty far.
And on the north side, you're in Saddlebrook, north side of Tucson, there's Sheldon's Landscape and Nursery. And I believe the closest one to you that's independently owned. There might be one in Saddlebrook or Oracle. I don't know. I'll have to research. But Sheldon's the one that's coming to the top of the mind. When we get back, it's Robert and Mike and you at 1-888-767-4348.